Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Miles, enough beating around. We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious dad. Enough with the shit about you being an impending father or whatever.
Have you seen some art?
We got a heater today.
Yeah.
Hilarious stand-up comedian, comedy writer, actor, fashion icon.
Yeah.
Whose shirts are available at Guarantee Shirts.
Yeah.
One of our all-time favorite TDZ guests, one of y'all's favorite TDZ guests, the brilliant, the raw, the major, Caitlin Gilf!
Caitlin Gilf!
This is me hugging the Zeit Gang. I hope you can all feel it. Everybody just got a consensual hug. Only those who want one, if you're not into that or being
we're huggers.
Typing.
Most of us are huggers.
You're fine. Most of you are probably. I feel like it's a huggy crowd. Yeah. Also, I knew, Miles, that you had excellent handwriting. I knew it. I felt it in my bones that your handwriting was cultivated and exquisite.
Yeah,
I am pleased
thank you.
To hear that you know, that was correct.
It's
hi, what wonderful praise. It is a pleasure, as always, to join you in your lovely third seat. Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you here. What's your handwriting looking like?
Fast. It is hurried. My handwriting looks like I am thinking about the next sentence already and would like to get it on the page, please.
Do you have like hybrid cursive printing handwriting? Because you know how people, like when I hear people who write fast, I always envision like that hybrid cursive while also printing. Is that you?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little, a lot of letters I've just trained to run together in something normal. They're not the shape of a cursive letter, but I'm not lifting a pencil. Who's got the time?
Right.
I'm busy.
You got to.
I will show you a to-do list that has my handwriting on it.
Yeah. I was just taking notes about what a guest needs to know on this stained book. And I feel like even backwards, you know that that's exactly what it would look like.
I will have
like
you know
in this, a rush.
This is a to-do list that I discovered while cleaning out my closet from over, I think probably 2 years ago. I've accomplished half of the things on this to-do list.
Not bad.
I put it down.
Well, you didn't specify. What if the goals were like climb multiple mountains?
But okay. one of the items on the to-do list is just Havana syndrome.
Get to the bottom of.
How high on the list is that, can I ask? How long have you been writing a list before you were like, you know what, I got to get on here?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It's
ten
the 10th item, Havana syndrome. Just enough said, future self. You know what this means.
Shit.
Oh, man.
It's like shitty memento. It's like, what? Havana syndrome. Yeah, man. Figure it out.
Figure it out. Solve the JFK assassination. Havana syndrome.
What else you got? The climate change.
Area 51.
Climate change. One of my favorite jokes in the world, Sean Keane wrote himself so he would remember it because he knew he was not in a state to remember it when it occurred to him at the time. And it is a list of soy cheese names that make me laugh like I hear that. I've heard that. I request that joke anytime I can make Sean Keane do it for me. And if when next time you talk to comedian Sean Keane or listen to him, I highly All encourage right. that you shout out soy cheeses. I will just cite my favorite, Monterey John. I swear it's the best thing I've ever heard. Monterey John.
Oh, I love that.
But that was in a note he left himself and discovered. The meaning of which I'm so thankful he retained. Can you imagine just opening your phone to see the phrase Monterey John and having no frame of reference? What were you thinking? Why has this been written? What past self decided that was a necessary note? I remain ever thankful that Sean held on to just enough shreds of that memory to put together one of my favorite pieces of stand-up material of all time.
It also relies on a knowledge that Jack is a nickname for John, which the majority of the United States does not have. I will have you know, as somebody who is a born John who goes by Jack. Most people are
yes.
like, why the hell do you do that? That's strange.
You can.
Yeah.
I'm a Catherine derivative. I can go so many ways.
Kathy, Katie. That's right.
If whatever I mean, cat, yeah, I just can't stop starting with cats, but all the Kate ones are allowed too.
Yeah.
Somehow
yeah.
I feel like Courtney sneaks in. I could just do it if I wanted.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're feeling sassy.
Yeah, I'm Courtney right. now.
And Miles, you just have a cool name. So you're like, yeah, I'm good.
Oh, Miles, I would
love that. I think I've said it before. I always wanted to be DJ in the 90s.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I was like, why don't I DJ?
Precious no. man.
That felt like the sickest name. And I remember, I was like, yo, this name is fucking DJ. Bullshit. Why can't that
like
be
DJ? Tanner.
Yeah. Hell There's yeah. other kid. This
that
dude
is
in my
such
school.
A 90s thing.
Oh, yeah. This one kid, DJ, was like the coolest kid like in my grade. Yeah. Like at the time, yeah. they're like, oh, she's surfing and shit. Like he's like, you know, he's like a good surfer when we were like 10. You know what I mean? So he was killing it. Now he's like a storied lifeguard in Oahu. Like he never strayed from his like beach path as a human being. Now he's like,
this is what I'm good at.
Once a DJ, always a DJ. That's a game you have to swing in too hard.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't back down from your choices as a DJ.
Exactly. Yeah. In a way, I'm glad I did not pursue that name switch, and I stayed with Miles, and that led me towards the kept me on my musical path. So yeah.
Well played.
Yeah. Very well. DJ could have kept you on a very different musical.
It
would have
been too on the nose, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah,
I mean? Like, and here's DJ. Like, nah, come on.
Sorry, that could be something I've been thinking about.
I personally love it, but that's not a great indicator of its quality.
Well, I think,
success. That's
trolley DJ names now are like the best. Like, there's a guy named Trilbo Swaggins who I've seen on bills in like LA. DJ Yambanyobi. Is another one I love. Like, those are just funny. Like, I would lean into that. But yeah, as a kid, like, I remember I was DJing under the name Prime.
Yeah.
With a one.
Yeah,
oh, with a one for the eye, okay?
No That's, fucking around.
That was also
this,
my MC name.
On this side.
Yeah. For the eye. What a time to be alive.
Truly. The early 90s. I have a long thing I want to talk about that we don't have time for, about the name Michael in the late 80s, early 90s, and why it was having such a run. I don't have any answers.
It was a thing.
It was...
So when I was in college, we had to have multiple mics. There was moccasin mic, second floor mic. There was tall mic. There was short mic. We had to delineate the mics. They all got a prefix handle.
And also the three most famous humans in America were all named Mike. And then the Ninja Turtles came along and the coolest Ninja Turtle was Michelangelo.
Yeah.
It's why? And then since then, not a lot of cool mics. We got Mike Pence. This is a stand-up bit I'm working out, I guess.
Yeah, go on.
Go off, King. All right.
What's fun about that is you're guaranteed to have a mic in every audience. So
yeah.
Get ready. Put plenty in your pocket for that.
I'm a cool mic.
You get on stage. Hey, so where's Mike at? If your name's Mike, raise your hand right now. All right, Mike.
The fuck out of here. What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I was just looking at my history from yesterday. We had caper vinaigrette, which I was trying to figure out how to make for dinner. And then, and also racist Dutch theme park. I was doing my friend's podcast, and there's a theme park in the Netherlands called Efteling that recently, after a long battle, changed some very racist rides that they had. So I needed to bone up on that. So theme park, international theme park controversy.
Wow.
Whoa.
There's a couple of theme parks dealing with some racist controversy that they're having to undo.
Yeah. Are the Dutch like crying over the fact that they had to change their theme park like they do at Disney World? Or?
They were really holding on to it. And this stuff was way more outwardly racist than anything that was.
Oh, no.
And so, like,
oh, this... Monsieur Cannibal?
Okay, yeah, you found it. Yeah.
Shit. This is fucking violence. Oh, my
it's
God.
It's crazy. And it only changed, like, very recently. Yeah. And I mean, it's a whole different culture they have over there, I suppose. But they also had, like, a very racist ripoff of It's a Small World with scenes of, like, Africa and Asia. I mean, just, like, crazy stuff that this still existed, but and they changed that, but they kept Monsieur Cannibal. They were holding on to that one. They finally changed that one, but I wanted to make sure I had my facts right. So yeah, that's
holy
what I was looking
shit.
Up yesterday.
Yeah, Monsieur Cannibal. For people who don't even, if you're not Googling, basically it's like a teacup ride where all these like pots over fire are rotating around a central like racist figure of what I'm believing is to be some kind of African person who is going to eat the people.
It's the most shockingly offensive thing that you've ever seen. That anyone's ever seen.
I'm surprised that the photo of it is in color. Like, that's how racist it is. I'm like, right. Wait, this is before color cameras, right?
Yeah, and their excuse was like, well, you got to understand, this ride was made like 30 years ago. It's like, 30 years ago? This was not okay 30 years ago.
In the 80s. We made this back in the late 80s, so I mean, have to understand.
This came out right after Soul Man was released in theater, so we thought, this can't be too offensive. Yeah,
right.
What the fuck?
Oh, my God. I wonder, was the ice cream cone always there? Because he is eating an ice cream cone, which that, seems...
Yeah.
Are you saying that makes it okay?
No, but
I'm wondering if they tried to make it okay by being like, he's not just eating people. He also likes ice cream.
That's not like African. Like ice cream, not necessarily, doesn't mean he's an African because he likes that. It feels like police reform where it's like, let's change this one thing. And everyone's like, that's not the fucking problem. And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, the problem is that he wasn't eating ice cream. They had to eat ice cream.
Shit.
What is something you think is overrated, Vince?
I think canceling plans is overrated. I don't know at what point like it became a thing to brag about how much you enjoy canceling plans online. But I don't know. I personally hate when people do that. And I don't think it's that cool. And I think you should... it's more fun to meet up with people,
yeah.
I think.
It's cooler to just say no off rip.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Don't cancel them. Say, you want to, nah.
Yeah, because then the person knows how much food to get.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, no, that's poor form. You know what I mean? If there's a head count and you got to provide or whatever, and then people suddenly like 30% of the guest list, like, you know what, actually, nah.
Yeah, and everybody has that one friend who... doesn't like to disappoint people, so there maybe is like an automatic no, and their yes is actually, you translate it back to a maybe in your mind.
Yeah,
right.
They're like, right. Look, Jono's gonna say yes, but it's a no. I know him. 2 days out, he's gonna be like, hey, actually, I'm like, I already know. Never mind.
Sorry, we didn't even buy enough food for you, man. It's good.
Bro, I've known you since preschool, man. I know what yes means.
I got some frozen pot stickers in case you decide to show up. That's gonna be your food.
It's a very good point. It's a thing that I think it's been an underrated on our show, and I've vehemently agreed with that because I do have social anxiety, and sometimes it feels like a lot to show up to a thing. But usually when I show up to a thing, in after the fact, I'm glad I did. Like,
right. But I think more the thing that we liked about the canceling plans thing was more so saying no to offers of plans. Because I feel like that was the big pandemic shift for me, was you say yes to everything pre-pandemic. And then I was like, nah, like being able to like have my own boundaries is actually really important to me. So then on the other side of it, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? Actually, I don't think I'll be able to make it. Where I used to be like, I might, you know what? Let me check. Let me look. Now I'm just like, nah, that ain't gonna work. Maybe next time.
I did have a friend who was like an aggressive invite turner downer, where he would not only say no, but like reply to the group email with all of the reasons that he would not be doing that. And you know what? Had to respect it.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's brilliant. Yeah. Were the reasons like, you guys aren't my favorite conversationalists?
And I mean, it was not like the Banshees of Inisherin. It was usually more like, he didn't want to drive more than 10 minutes, and it would be like, oh, sorry, I didn't bring my my East Bay passport, because I will not be doing that.
Ben, what is something you think is underrated?
Oh, specificity of the English language. See above the word calendrical. When does that come up?
Is pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it's like pretty good. I like the specificity of it to the earlier statement about the German language just cramming a bunch of shit together saying, you know, that's just the thing.
I think we wrote about this like back at Cracked, like just the wildest words that exist in foreign languages. And I think one of them, I think it was in German and it might have been in Russian, was like a child, like giving birth while standing in an alleyway, like out of shame.
There's a word for that?
Yeah, there is a word for that. Like it's, just like the process of like not even laying down to give birth because you don't want anyone to notice.
How come no one fenestrates? How come falling out a window is defenestration?
Yeah. I mean, nobody. It's always there for when it happens, you know?
I just think it's, I think it's fun. I feel like I get
also,
some...
Also, do not Google German giving birth in an alleyway by standing up. Just saying. That's not a way to figure out.
No, that's a good note. That's a good note.
I keep my safe search on because I Google some weird shit.
So. Yeah, it's just between you and the NSA, Jack.
That's right.
So
they're like, he's completely off the scent of the JFK assassination. We got him all looking up German words and we seed into his brain through these other podcasts.
We're good. they have their own doomsday clock for how close I am to the truth about the JFK.
He's fucking 5 seconds, boys.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a specific word for it. It's like Jack Chronologic Calendaricus Stedeman.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's take a quick break.
But just to that point, though, I'm sorry, because Jack, you talk about a feature of the German language, which I think does have this specificity. And I don't know, I feel like we don't have a lot of specificity in the English language. Like we use a lot of words from other languages sometimes to like encapsulate something. But we don't have like these kind of, like when we do, it's like mashup shit. You know what I mean? Or like slang. For sure. You know what I mean?
No, the English language I feel like is... We have to use a lot of different words to get at a concept a lot of the time.
The English language is a bunch of people freestyling for fucking thousands of years and just going with stuff, you know? Like, so someone was like, imagine how weird it is. You know, you're learning English. Sometimes you're close to something. Sometimes something's about to close. That's fucking confusing and no one's going to fix it. Right, We're all just sort of vibing off that.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, I love it. I feel like I'm still learning this language.
That is one of the things that comes up constantly when you have a kid. The calendar, less so, in my experience thus far. But the spelling and how completely fucking arbitrary it is, especially because like my kids are also learning Spanish. And so Spanish just follows rules. So it's just like, oh yeah, that's how you spell that. And then English is... Yeah, it just seems
to, I before E except. You're like, what?
They seem to get distracted like halfway through words sometimes.
I'm going to level with you. English is a colonizer language where we steal a bunch of other words from other people. That's why the spelling is all over the place. Right. Like shampoo is like from the Indian, like an Anglo-Indian, like a Hindi word. You know what I mean?
Boondocks is from the Philippines.
Yeah, like there's so many things where it's like, what does that mean? It's like, look, we kind of, once we got our boats up and running, we just started jacking other people's words and ideas.
Yeah. Didn't have our best people on it. I do wonder, like, do other languages, like, is there some sort of like centralized body that is like, France. No, that's fucking stupid. Like,
another colonizer. France has a national body to just keep their shit buttoned up on the language front.
Oh, interesting.
True story. Well, I don't know if it's interesting. I don't speak French. I just walk around Paris, you know, doing like a slight overbite, you know, like, like I look like I say my O's right, you know?
Right.
There you go. Bon, bon, bon. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. And okay, it wasn't everyone, but it wasn't the New York Times. The New York Times got this wrong as fuck.
A lot of like the LA Times,
all like these mainstream media sources that love that people just immediately trust.
And have you seen their Trump coverage?
Yeah. They're liberal. Okay. Yes. Granted, they're liberal. It's like, no, they're not. They are right of center. Anyways, so the shoplifting epidemic that was sweeping the nation, one of the big people crying foul and actually crying wolf was Walgreens. I remember this being a big story, like before any of them kicked it off. Was Walgreens was like, can barely keep the dang doors open in San Francisco because what is shoplifting? It's just the Wild West.
It's tearing this family apart.
And it's like what everybody thought. They're like, so what's it like in California? Like, you just don't have to pay for stuff? You just walk in and smash and grab everything you want from a Walgreens? Is that how California is now?
I mean, as a shoplifter, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that everywhere, though. It's not just California. Yeah. Live free. Yeah. Live free, sovereign consumer, as I call them. There was this whole thing of like it's destroying the economy in San Francisco, and like they have to close 5 stores because of the lack of law and order. And this guy, the CFO, got on this call and he basically said they, quote, cried too much last year about the supposed problem, and as a result they've overspent on security to try and stop the non-existent bleed. And in fact, when you look at the numbers, they said things got better this last year for the company in terms of losses. They said as they call it, the rate of shrink, which is like loss due to theft, fraud, damages, misscanned items, etc., fell from 3.5% to around 2.5%, which is not good by industry standards, as I've read. But we knew this, And we were saying this along with many others that don't rely on the words of police and the C-suite of companies to shape their worldview. Like, and the thing that pisses me off is that the data was there. Like, there was a San Francisco Chronicle article that was like, I mean, in other earnings calls, they talked about how just the cost of doing business in San Francisco is really fucking difficult because of the real estate costs, and they expanded too quickly, and they're kind of like, ugh. And that also helped like make the decision that they were going to close some locations down. So on top of it all, like, again, all of this was like there for most people to see and just say, I don't know if it's quite rising to this, but we were just fed this steady stream of like videos of like people like shoplifting at pharmacies. And you're like, oh no, what's going on? And now like the places like CNN and the New York Times are writing articles that are critical of Walgreens. And like,
oh my God,
crunching the numbers in their reporting to show
you
the
lied
people
to us
that they were lying this whole time. Like, what the
damn
fuck?
Straight. I've been to those Walgreens. Do you know how hard it is to shoplift gum from there? It's impossible.
Yeah.
They have like cameras. They have like metal detectors. They've got security guards everywhere. And then they have the mirrors all over the place.
Yeah. Right.
The also, the shrinkage, like they use this term that's like loss from theft, that, or like I feel like they
I thought
always,
it was from George Costanza.
Yeah, I thought it was from Cold Water. But I think the like they're always lumping it in with something else that is less sexy, but it is actually the thing that is causing them to lose more money. Like I remember there was a Walmart story about this where they were like blaming theft for a huge loss of like inventory, but then people actually looked in and it's like more likely you're just bad at tracking your inventory, and also you're trying to replace clerks with all of these automated self-checkouts, and people are inadvertently not paying for things or just like conveniently forgetting to scan something.
Yes, for me it's inadvertent and convenient.
And they're not, you know, they just don't want to admit that because they just it's a cost saving thing that they knew was going to be a problem coming into it. But because the media, because these mainstream media outlets were so gullible and so just willing to, you know, be credulous that like, yes, theft is out of control. The poors are coming and they're breaking down the doors and stealing all our stuff.
Oh, the poor little billionaires, they have to worry about the great big poors.
It's the same reason that they love that, like those doorbuster sales where everyone's like, you know, pushing each other out of the way to get the flat screen TVs. It's like, look at these like poor consumers. It's they love a zombie movie. The local news, the mainstream media, they love to make it seem like the poor people are out of control. And
we're hungry masses coming in tsunami waves with our claspers ready for your gum and candy.
To take your detergent and Tide Pods and other things. But yeah, it's just all self-created. The thing that really fucking takes my, like, blows my mind is that, like, they actually quoted Alec Caracatsanis in the New York Times. Like, he's been going fucking head-to-head on Twitter, like every time they post one of these dumb crime wave pieces, and now they want to fucking hit him up for a quote about the media's lack of like attention on this, or just like kind of going, you know, really casually along with the narratives that were being put out by these companies and the police. Like, come on.
He's surgically disassembled every one of these articles that you have like published, like in real time. You publish it an hour later, he has explained like what. Okay, so this quote is from a cop. This quote is from the Better Business Bureau in your city. Like, this quote is just pulled from a Walgreens earnings call where it was like conveniently lumped in with this other thing that you were losing money on. And just like he told you in real time that this was bullshit. And now all of a sudden I'm glad they're coming around to the reality of their fucked up reporting, but I'm sure that's not how they're going to, you know, portray it or even like perceive it. You know?
It's again, I mean, this is all, again, like you're saying, all of the policy or political points that were scored with getting the media lockstep with this narrative was basically to push back against a lot of the progressive DAs. Like Chesa Boudin in San Francisco was ran out on a rail because of precisely this narrative of like, and there's no fucking nothing in San Francisco, get him out. But you look at the primaries and what happened in November, a lot more progressive DAs got elected.
Right.
Oh.
So it's like this, you know, it's when these stories come out, you're like, oh, of course, you're all working together because it's the same aim.
Yeah.
This is like a real Law and Order episode now.
Right.
We need like the.
Yeah. Like in March, May of 2021, California Today, New York Times, San Francisco shoplifting surge. They got a picture of Walgreens. Walgreens has closed stores in San Francisco, because of shoplifting.
Mm-hmm.
Is your fucking sub like headline on like the front image? Like, and now you're like, wow, what happened? Man, get the fuck out of here.
And that's also your best picture. If like hordes of shoplifters are invading Walgreens, your best picture is just like a closed store.
Yeah, just the exterior of one. And someone,
Where are all the poor zombies?
Right. Yeah, it's just really anyway, so well done, the New York Times and CNN and others that breathlessly just paraded this on. And then now you're like, ooh, that guy was just talking bullshit, huh? It turns out. Yeah, you fell for it.
They only caught the like five times I've done it.
Yeah, I mean, nobody checks anymore.
I wonder if it was a bad strategy for them to. I mean, I don't know what their other option was, but their strategy really seemed to be like California is a socialist failed state that has, you know, the socialist DAs have lost the city. And so everybody elsewhere in the country is like, man, California is really like gone to shit. And, you know, we're fine here, it turns out. And oh, not my progressive DA, like they, because everybody seems to be voting progressive when it comes to. Yeah, they're not everybody, but at least the people who vote. So
they love doing that with California, period, right? Like we have wildfires and they're like, it's because of all the gays rubbing claspers. That's California. Right. Yeah. They're terrible and it's God's hand.
Yeah. I mean, it is like,
no, actually, our money's all being funneled into the Midwest. And that's why we have no infrastructure.
Right. I mean, yeah, look at where I think what it, like you're saying, it helps to have this. Like boogeyman to point to like, you know, I always use the metaphor of the M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Village, to be like, you don't want to go out there.
Yeah.
It's all fucking weird and spooky. Like you couldn't even fucking fathom.
Yeah.
But then,
oh my God, don't tell me the ending, Miles. Don't tell me
the ending. I didn't tell you the ending.
All right.
I didn't tell you the ending, but a plane flies overhead and that kind of fucked it all up. Anyway, all that to say, you know, we help fulfill that sort of myth for a lot of the conservative myth makers who want to, you know, do everything they can to be like, no, progress is so fucked up and bad, like it leads to Walgreens closing because they actually aggressively expanded and relied on not paying like proper wages and automation. Did I get that right?
But truly, it is bad out here. So don't move out here. don't move to Los Angeles, especially.
Stay where you're at.
Traffic's fucking horrible. No, friend, that's real. It got worse.
No, I know. That's why I'm telling them to fuck off.
It got worse.
This is the worst it's ever been. I feel like traffic.
To, I don't know what the fuck is happening.
We got back from the holiday. Yeah. It's bad. I've tried to go to that fucking Griffith Park Observatory like three times. And every time it's like a fucking, it's like Space Mountain.
You might as well.
3 hour line.
Yeah. You'd have to like park by the studio in Hollywood.
Even
get close to walking up the hill.
That's why you got to come to Modesto. Nobody goes anywhere. Yeah.
I know. It's so dumb to like keep going to the same place that is the, you know, just as beautiful as like 20 other things. All I need to do. I ended up just finding a bunch of other better parks in Los Angeles.
Take them up to the Mount Wilson Observatory, man.
Hey, so anyways, fuck you, Griffith Park Observatory. I don't need you. Anyways. I mean, just skipping down to somebody who has actually gone on the record in court being like, I am a professional wrestling character that, you know, Alex Jones. Our writer JM was pointing out, he was doing some research, watching the thing, and noticed that like one of the logos was HAL 9000, like in a way, but it was like kind of sweaty. It didn't make sense as a reference. And so he looked into it, and Alex Jones apparently is weirdly obsessed with Stanley Kubrick and making the case that Stanley Kubrick is like a right-wing prophet. A few years ago, they published an editorial about how the world of A Clockwork Orange bears an uncomfortable resemblance to our own. The film is too bold, too brash, too brazen in its honest yet stylized depiction of the foibles and failures of humanity in our society, and too unflinching in its artistic honesty and insight for like our soft modern world, which is funny. First of all, it's funny to like take the entire point of a dystopian sci-fi movie, which is to like show you a world that seems different, but then the more you watch, you're like, ah, but I see the similarities, and, you know, and just like say it in a tone that makes it sound like it's a conspiracy that they've done this, like that it's a secret message that they're sending you. It reminds me of like the Da Vinci Code, where they like took symbolism in art and like reduced it to the level of like a crossword puzzle, where you're like, when you look at her hand, she's actually pointing at a word jumble that's written over here in invisible ink that you have to solve to find out the clue. But also it's just ignoring, I don't know, they act like it's too woke for our world. And it's a movie that was incredibly controversial when it came out in the 70s. Like it sparked massive protests. And like Stanley Kubrick banned it in the UK, like decided not to distribute it. But yeah.
It's just wild to, again, like the weird confirmation bias set to 9 million or whatever.
Right.
It's just like every, like, yeah, oh, I can see it now. But again, you, it's always having to be, you know, bending towards whatever you need it to mean. And in this case, I just love it. It's like, oh, exactly. He foretold all of these issues, except I'm not quite sure which side of this equation I'm actually on.
Yeah. And then he had Stanley Kubrick's daughter, Vivian Kubrick, on, and apparently she's a huge Alex Jones fan now and is, yeah, I don't know, like violent art, far right memes on Twitter, and publicly proclaimed her admiration of Alex Jones when she came on, said, I've been listening to Alex Jones for many years. I know how accurate he has been about what's going down on this planet. And also she's wearing a headlight and a GoPro camera on her head and said that enemies of humanity are running the world and they might be extraterrestrials. And that was like in the first 5 minutes of the show, which is just, it's such a bummer. It truly is that, like, I don't know. It's getting to everyone, you know?
Right.
Alex Jones also thinks Stanley Kubrick had psychic powers, and that's where he got his movie ideas. Again, just a like wild, just attempt by someone who's not creative to understand the creative process. So he must have been had someone sending him psychic messages. Like, how did you come up with Dr. Strangelove 5 years before, you know, the Cuban Missile Crisis, or a decade before the Cuban Missile Crisis? And it's like that. It was based on a dramatic novel that had already been singled out by the Pentagon for its accuracy. Like, repeatedly, he just kept confusing. Like, Stanley Kubrick did really careful and intense and broad research for all of his movies. Like the other thing, he's like, Eyes Wide Shut, like, I've seen mass orgies in my time. By the way, he like dropped that as an aside. He was like, when I was a teenager, I went to some satanic mass orgies, and just like didn't go further into that. But he took the Eyes Wide Shut orgy as like a sign that he was telling on actual like orgies that Stanley Kubrick had been invited to, when in fact it was like this deep historical research into actual, you know, rituals from the 18th and 19th century, like how those things actually went down. Also, their conspiracy is that Eyes Wide Shut was about like the real Illuminati, and that like powerful celebrities had Kubrick killed because he died right after completing the movie, which is just doesn't really hold together as a, like, why would you? He'd been working on that since like the 60s.
Yeah, they should have killed him before.
They should have killed him before he completed it. Right.
I like that they're just like, yeah, just the assassins are like, hold on, let him cook.
I want to see what he's more. Doing.
Want to see what he's got going.
They're like, yeah, I'm a big fan. Wait, no, we got to let him finish it. But then
yeah,
we got to punish him.
Yeah. And also, again, the question of where he got the idea for Eyes Wide Shut could have been solved with Google. Like, that's the thing. So many of these kind of long running conspiracy theories, and this comes up in Paul T. Goldman as well. Like, so many of these things can be solved with Google, like just a little bit of Google, not even, you know, prolonged and detailed research, but just a little bit to be like, oh, there are these four other explanations that also make sense.
Yeah. I mean, to what you guys are talking about in terms of confirmation bias, it's like, yeah, it's kind of the backwards. You decide what the truth is, and then you make every bit of information you find line up with it and kind of willfully ignore anything that contradicts it or adds complexity to it. But yeah, I mean, you see that happening everywhere.
Well, and then I did want to, you know, just follow that story up with a story about why that will be the last time that we ever talk shit about rich people or corporations, sure. Because now they are suing us.
Yeah. not us specifically, but they're going after people who like to connect the dots out loud on the influence of money. Yeah, yeah. And Beto O'Rourke, or also known as Skateboard B, is being sued.
Is he known as that?
I just decided to do that as a Pharrell reference, but we know he gets down on that skateboard. We saw him get down in that Whataburger parking lot. But, you know, he's being sued by this natural gas magnate in Texas. Why? Did he do something criminal? Oh, he pointed out the fact that the natty gas pimp gave Governor Greg Abbott $1 million right after the governor signed a bill into law that created a loophole for natural gas operators to be able to opt out of mandated winterization of their infrastructure.
Well, what does that even mean? It's not like that could ever harm anyone.
I know. What do you mean?
Winterization. Oh, I have to put chains on my tires. Texas. Who gives
a
shit?
What could winter be like? How bad could winter in Texas be?
Thank you.
Did anything bad happen a couple of winters ago where properly winterized infrastructure could have prevented the death of hundreds and the loss of power for millions?
Unregulated costs led to the absolute robbery of people trying to not die in their homes?
There was in 2021. And then Abbott signed a bill like a few months later that made it seem like he was addressing the issue of like the winter storm. And he was like, I want to make it look like I'm advocating for Texans by saying we actually have to get serious about mandating like the proper winterization of infrastructure and like not allowing these operators to price gouge people. But again, he left a loophole for the natural gas gang. Which is why the Texas Tribune points to the natural gas operators as, quote, the primary cause of outages during that time. So what the fuck is going on? And what is this distraught man to do for Beto O'Rourke saying things like this guy's influencing the governor or bribing him? Oh, well,
so he
naturally
just pointed that out, the Greg Abbott thing. He was just like, hey, this bill was fucked up.
Yeah, he's like, look at it. He's like, he's carving out loopholes for his buddy. This guy gave $1 million. You think this isn't connected? This is directly relates to his business and way of making money. And this is the kind of corruption where it got, you know, like any person who's like running for office with that sort of set of ideals is going to articulate. Well, his lawyers now are saying like, well, you know what? They said this natural gas tycoon experienced, quote, mental anguish from comments, ads, and social media posts in which O'Rourke's campaign suggested that the money was a reward for Abbott going easy on him. Wow. What else? Tell us what else, honey. Let's soothe your wounds. Quote, Beto O'Rourke told millions of his followers that Warren engaged in bribery, corruption, and extortion, and that he profited from the death of his fellow Texans simply because Mr. Warren gave a perfectly legal campaign contribution to the candidate of his choosing, Governor Abbott. When you look at the comments that his followers put in on his tweets, they believe him. They believe that Mr. Warren is a criminal that is engaged in profit over the lives of Texans. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So your profits, see, the reason is if you spent the fucking money to properly protect your infrastructure and prevent the power outages for people, which wouldn't have led to their deaths. And you know,
after
for you, it seemed
the
like
fact, after the people, that's the wild thing is
he's
that
like,
this
why
was not
it?
Like a thing where it was like, hindsight 2020, we would have really addressed that fucker. They are doing this and like paying him millions of dollars campaign contribution after their fuck up has already led to people dying, has already led to like a
national news, like just disaster, like something that everybody was talking about. And they're like, yeah, okay, so the next thing we need to do is make sure that nothing, no consequences are ever felt from this.
Right. Like,
I don't know. I'm looking for some silver lining here. And remember that our perfectly balanced judicial system is, it runs on a system of precedent. Mm-hmm. Now, if we could establish a precedent that mental anguish is enough to sue a politician for, then perhaps we're onto something here. Maybe even corporate. I've experienced mental anguish from every overdraft fee that I've ever experienced. Maybe a little class action suit in that direction is in order. I've experienced, you know, mental anguish. I remember when, you know, when I was in college and I had to get all those loans because, like, we made tuition and student fees in the California public university system. I remember that being quite a source of mental anguish.
Yeah, right.
Maybe the 500,000 students a year that were in school with me in the state of California would like to get together and see if there's a little something we can do to compensate ourselves for what we suffered. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just, yeah, but I've heard a lot anguish, of statements.
God, if we could start suing people for mental anguish and the...
I just think that maybe we're onto something here, the mental anguish.
And if the judicial system wasn't run by billionaires. we'd be in business.
Hey, you never know. Let's open the doors. But again, like many people are saying, like, obviously it's a bullshit slap lawsuit and it's, you know, meant to chill the speech of candidates or anyone who's wanting to point out that we live in this fucking oligarchy. So, you know, there's that. And it could be a great blueprint for other, you know, very sensitive earth fuckers who don't want to hear people accurately describe their actions. But yeah, it's a little
have a dystopian 1984 flip the language vibe.
Yeah.
You told the truth about me, so I'm suing you. It's just an interesting 100%. State to be in.
And yeah. I mean, when you also look at it, too, this guy, like this gas guy, like he's making sure everybody's paid. You know what I mean? Like Ken Paxton, the attorney general after the storm, he's like, we got to look into these gas companies, man. What the fuck was that storm about? It looks like they were gouging. The price gouging was out of control. But since then, he's refused to say, like, what's going on with that investigation. And then if you look at the donations, the same guy, Kelsey Warren's given at least $200,000 to Paxton throughout his career. So it's like he stays on the good side of him. And then also the Texas Railroad Commission, which is the body that oversees like oil and gas and stuff in the state, you know, and like talks about price caps and things like that. He's given like over $390,000 to like Texas Railroad Commission candidates in the last decade. So, you know, I mean, if anything, it's just one of these weird things where you see how it works. But again, they're like, well, you have to prove the intent in court.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like he was just giving to like, and it's this nebulous language that is allowed to, for them to have a defense, like, I'm merely participating in the civic process here and just giving money to a preferred candidate without really, you know, but we're not going to actually analyze what that means.
Right.
And I think that's what this lawsuit could end up boiling down to. Anyway, he's being, Beto O'Rourke is being sued for $1 million.
Yeah. I think Beto O'Rourke's just mad. He's not a baller like this guy, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's what this guy was saying. He's like, it's just, all these haters, they hate that we're ballers. And what's the problem?
Might as well call this alpha versus beta. I feel like Chads are finally stepping up to assert their dominance in court, which it's about time. I can see by the visual representation that this is the apex of the white male. This is it.
We're not getting much higher
every,
after this.
Every billionaire looks like flaccid wet sausage, but it's just something that happens, I guess, when you have that much money.
Speaking of flaccid wet sausage, we got a fucking flaccid wet sausage all-star coming up in our next story.
It's true. I scrolled down to look at this guy's picture and I misunderstood. I saw a photo in the document, which you so kindly prepare for guests there. You've included a photograph of a certain gentleman and I mistook him for a billionaire because he has billionaire body, which is about the compliment I could give him, which I think we all recognize is not praise.
And he has like, he has like that vibe, like when you're so privileged, like you still look like a baby because you've never had to live still. Like you still
he
have
looks
your
like
baby.
The coach like... you're not surprised to hear the stories about.
Yeah, right. 100%. Oh, with his haircut, that dodgy haircut.
The haircut is
amazing. My God. It looks like,
Who's the owner of the Raiders who has the bowl cut?
Yeah.
That Al Davis?
With the haircut.
Yeah. Wait, not Al Davis?
Yeah, Al Davis is, I think it's Al Davis's son, maybe.
Oh, yeah. He's got that. he's got that really wild edge up. Like he's got a Caesar with bangs.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Caesar with bangs.
Like real, real aggressive. Real aggressive.
Bring it all to the front. Yeah.
I guarantee he wasn't like, give me an edge up. But yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. The person I'm talking about is Mark Davis, Al Davis' son. So worth looking at him and the gentleman we're about to talk to when we come back. Not talk to, talk about.
No, we got him. We got him.
We got him on the line. Got him on the horn.
Love your worldview, man. Got to have you on the show.
All right. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. And I did confirm during the break there is no confirmed new Outkast album, just rumors. So
yeah,
anyone just else rumors, who just was Googling or about to Google, I'm old. I can't tell the difference between when Miles is joking and not anymore. But let's talk Oscar.
Look, like noms. I said, I'm a great liar, like George Santos. Breathlessly, yeah. Will say things like Outkast has a new album.
Yeah, but he's a bad liar. That's the amazing thing, is that he's a bad liar.
God, Republicans, come all pay you my need bills, to do y'all.
Is lie how the Republicans want you to.
Exactly. Let me tell you about the scourge of biracial people.
There
who
goes.
Better would know except for me, a misfortunate biracial person. I wish I could change things if I could, y'all.
But yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, luckily, I'm all right. I'm all right.
So we're saying Santos is probably not up for an Oscar. You know what? We should just fucking ask him. I bet he's got a supporting role in something.
Yeah. He's probably going to claim he was Jamie Lee Curtis, actually, in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
One of these performances at least was inspired by him. And just like,
he's like, you know, the hot dog thing, those sausage fingers, those long ass fingers. That was me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gave that to Daniel or the other. I forget which Daniel it was, but I told Daniel.
But I think just generally, as we talked about before, like the direction that America wants to move, like the mainstream American culture, like you can tell a stupid lie in the direction of like right wing fascism and like right wing fascist talking points, and it's going to work for you. You can throw a coup that tries to overthrow the government and they will bury that shit. If that had been a coup
the business plot in the early 30s, if that had been a coup, like to try and do a communist overthrow of the U.S. government that got as far as it did, that like the heads of the plotters would still be on pikes, like in every U.S. city, and their family members, like that they would still, there would be museums to that shit.
Yeah, there'd be country songs about it and shit.
Yeah. All right, Oscar noms, Best Picture. It's a fun category. We got some hits. We got Avatar: The Way of Water, Banshees of Inisherin, All Quiet on the Western Front. The German film that came out on Netflix.
Shout out to my middle school teacher who made me read that book.
Yeah, it's a classic of middle school teachers.
Shout out to Spark Notes on that one.
You just got to live in it for a second.
Yeah.
Elves, which I think is part of the Santa Claus universe.
No, I think that's Elvis.
Oh, Elvis.
Yeah. Elvis.
My brain is refusing to acknowledge that Elvis is in the Best Picture category, but all right, man, we're in the year of maximalism. It's on the list right there next to Everything Everywhere All at Once, which deserves to be there. The Fabelmans, which I haven't seen. Tar, Top Gun Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, which I need to see still. That's like kind of the one on this list that I'm like excited to see. And Women Talking.
That one seems fucking heavy too.
Which is the title of a film. That's some random thing Jack said.
Yeah. No.
Dude, that... Have you heard about that film? That one. I mean, I
Women
really
Women
it.
Talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see that one too, for sure. Sarah Pauly?
Yeah, exactly.
Or Sarah Paulson?
No, Sarah Pauly.
Sarah Pauly?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, there's some snubs. The Best Director category is all dudes.
Right, you couldn't even get Sarah Pauly in there? Like, you're bothering to nominate Women Talking for Best Picture, but then you can't even, like... And, you know, might be one of the best directors, too, that made one of the best pictures.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were like, women directing, that's too far, you know?
Women Talking will allow it.
That's right.
Yeah. With the Women King, which was pretty dope, kind of got shut out. Like, it didn't get nominated for Best Picture, didn't get nominated for Director. Viola Davis was viewed as a front runner for a nomination for The Woman King and got snubbed. So that one's pretty frustrating.
Let me ask a question, though, because you guys are way more plugged into this sort of stuff than I am. Who the fuck is Oscar? Like, I know there's the Academy Awards.
I think the old myth is that it resembled someone's uncle named Oscar, and that's how that name got like put onto the statuette.
I mean, I trust you, but this sounds like some Santos level stuff. Like,
Look it up.
I believe you. I believe you. But I just like the Academy Awards. Can we say, I knew we were going to talk about this. There's a lot of great film out there, but it feels kind of rigged. Dare I say, like, I'm not plugged in. I'm not in the Producers Guild of America or whatever. I'm not getting anybody checking in on what I think about a film's merit. But like, how can you?
Hey, but they do ask us about the iHeart Podcast Awards now.
They do.
We are involved in some award giving that's all internal. Yes.
Yeah, we're kind of big. But the thing is, like, is the Academy Award process, is it something that you guys would say is fair, or is it something that's more like changing in the wind of opinion? I just don't know. I'm clueless on this.
I think the one consistent thing that I remember Jack saying early on was like include movies that do well. Like, stop looking at it through this narrow lens of like cinema, because now like this is like the first year that we're like, oh, look at all these blockbusters that are fully like part of it. But I mean, on some level, all of these things are easy to influence, because for the longest time, the criticism was levied against the Oscars that they're just copying the Golden Globes, because the Golden Globes nominations would come out before the Oscars and it was informing how those nominations worked. And then like they were starting to be like, we're actually going to announce our nominees before the Golden Globes, like months out. And people were like, what? Just to prove you like that's not going hand in hand. But I think on some level, there's like an internal momentum that brings people to say, you know, like that, like how they're voting. But I don't know. I mean, it's an industry that's like rife with parties, fucking gift bags. Like, you know, there's just shit like this all the time to, you know, create goodwill for a film.
Yeah. It's an industry award show. You know, it's like industry insiders rewarding one another. There's like a weird thing this year. Like, I think a lot of people are calling out this movie to Leslie. And like, it got, there was this big groundswell on social media of people supporting the lead actress in this movie to Leslie. And it was like Gwyneth Paltrow hosted a screening of the film, and like it made $27,000 at the box office. So like nobody saw it, but like all these celebrities suddenly like were on board and like pushing this. And I know a good friend of mine who is invested in like best actress, the best actress race, like not professionally, but just like cares about that stuff. Is like, yeah, she's actually like great. Like it, you know, it makes sense that she was nominated, but it does feel kind of suspicious. Like there's some skepticism that a bunch of celebrities all just decided to start supporting their friend, and that it wasn't like some sort of push from an agency or, you know, some agent or like behind the scenes machination because they want to cast this actress and something in the future, or like somebody is tied to her career in some way that makes it beneficial for that to happen. But, you know, yeah, I think there's always interesting stories behind the scenes that don't come out for years on. I will say, I always say that they should be nominating movies from 5 years ago. And I do think they completely left Nope out of any of the major categories. I think
what's going on with that? Nope was amazing.
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of those things where that's one of the movies we remember from this year and that people still talk about, and like it's still a Halloween costume like years from now. And, you know, it's just, but the Oscars miss it because they always miss.
Because all these people who are signed to CAA decided to sing the same from the same hymnal suddenly and be like, hey, man, you hear about this Andrea Riseborough? Oh, she's the next thing. You hear about this Tobias Bluth? Like, it's like, what the fuck? Like, in Arrested Development, just going around being like, hey, you hear about this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds a little bit like a conspiracy. I know it's kind of on the nose for me to say stuff like that.
I mean, look at just even like the celebrity crypto thing. There's such a sordid web of connections with all that fucking NFT garbage that happened. And like, you're like, man, it looks like the connective tissue seems to be Reese Witherspoon's husband.
Right.
But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
RRR, I think, also is a movie that people, my theory on that one is that they didn't nominate it because they were jealous of how much of a movie it was. So they were just like, no, we can't have people seeing that. But we'll see 5 years from now what holds up. I do want to talk real quickly about the Razzies.
Oh,
because
good.
That continues to be like a major headline. Like, yeah. That this year they nominated movies like Blonde, the Marilyn Monroe biopic, which also Ana de Armas got nominated in Best Actress category for that. Also Morbius,
yeah,
which, you know, was a bit that people liked to do. It was meme. It was fun meme for a little while. They also nominated a fucking 12-year-old.
Yeah, that was fucking, that's
what?
What a,
that's
fucking,
that's not cool.
Misstep. You know, well, like that's you're supposed to do it like adults. You know what I mean? Like, go after the fucking adults in their own. I'm like, who's this 12-year-old was shit. Like,
who is that for? Is it? It's just for that like Reddit forum where people like hate children, because you do ask like, well, what was the institutional like intent behind ridiculing a 12-year-old's performance? Right. And first of all, they've been doing this for years. Like they nominated Brooke Shields when she was 13, Macaulay Culkin like 3 times. Jake Lloyd from Star Wars: The Phantom Menace. He was 8 at the time. Wow. And later revealed that like bullying.
That's traumatic. That's bullying. Yeah. There's not really another word for it. You know,
the Razzies are complete garbage for a number of reasons. They published transphobic jokes. They repeatedly referred to Transformers: Age of Extinction as Trannies number 4, like that. So that was like recently. And they thought that was like funny and worth putting out there in a national, like a story that they knew was going to get national attention.
But at least they do the thing the Academy won't do, which is nominate more Black people
for
worst actor of the year. What the fuck is that?
Like, yeah. They've given at least 14 acting Razzies to Black actors, where in the same time, 13 Black actors have received Oscars for their work in the same time. So that's cool. They seem to really have it out for Black actors, which is cool.
I mean, it like when you look at it all, like the hatred of like a boy who was Anakin Skywalker, like racism, you're like, oh, this really is. It's like the internet found a way to give awards, basically.
Well,
like,
so that's exactly what it is. So you sit back, you're like, all right, what is this like bizarro Academy of racist creeps? And it turns out it's anybody. Like, to vote on the Razzies, you just have to pay for an annual membership online, which starts as low as $40.
Oh my God.
And you can also pay $500 and then I'll try and rope in 25 friends into like joining your voting membership.
What do you mean?
Yeah. And then they pay and then they find 25 friends.
Well, I'm assuming you're paying for them at least on that first one.
Right.
But then, they become your downstream and they're the next year. They're like, hey, really? The Razzies are wondering if you're going to re-up with me to be part of my Razzies team. We're actually having a get together at my place a little later on.
I thought of you because you hate kids and Black people. So this is perfect.
Yeah.
It's like, where do they get their screeners? Like someone's
Miles.
Like server where they just
Miles,
fucking watch
screeners.
Like
screeners. It says specifically in the bylaws, there is no requirement to have seen the movie first.
Yes!
Wow.
Yes!
A time to be alive!
Yes.
We win! We win! We win! Holy shit! There's no...
The whole thing started out as a joke by one publicist and his friends during an Oscar party, which, by the way, if you know any publicists, woof. Yeah, that's exactly where the sort of hellish origin story I would expect from this. But then it got picked up by CNN and eventually spread around. And for some reason, these publications still give this shit oxygen when it clearly just needs to be killed. But... Like
for $40 a year though, Jack. What do you want me to do?
What's that? You know,
how much fucking revenue are they? Like, that's the thing. Like, they're like, man, we got a cash cow of fucking internet acorn.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's the perfect award for our time. It's so aggressively stupid and like just zero thought put into it. And yeah, that's about right. It's about right.
I like how the founder Maureen Murphy said that they're like, you know, we wouldn't have nominated Shelley Duvall if we knew how hard she had it on the set of The Shining and everything.
They nominated Shelley Duvall for her performance in The Shining.
Yeah.
Like one of the great performances. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. You're dumb as shit. But like you're like if you you know, the fact that they recognized her performance is better than the Academy Awards, I guess.
Yes,
you know?
For the absolute worst reasons.
Yeah.
So wait, what we're saying then is that we could, you guys and our producers and me and all of us listening at home, we could fucking hack the Razzies, right?
For money.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
That's the way they do it. I mean, it's like, yeah, go ahead. Like, you can try and change some shit. We get $40 every time. I think the most efficient one is to buy the 500 one, because that's 25 votes. And the math works out better than buying 25 $40 memberships.
So you would have to, like, do a GoFundMe or something and then just really drive towards some voting that...
And now someone who is in the midst of all this chaotic, terrible stuff in the real world in 2023 is like, I'm going to slide my 500 there. It's very important to me that starvation, climate change, famine aside.
Yeah.
Let's fix this.
Hold on. I'm looking at this. Oh, wow. This art teacher would like new supplies for their classroom.
Fuck the Razzies.
Fuck that. Fuck that. We're putting Avatar on the board.
Also, shit. Babylon appeared nowhere on the Razzies. So I think they made a mistake.
They know better than to touch Police Academy, I hope.
That's a great point. I wonder if any police academies were nominated for a Razzie. I feel like that's probably the sort of thing they would go after.
No, right?
Because they would be jealous that somebody else like wrote those jokes, because like those are the sorts of jokes that they seem to prefer.
Like, oh, interesting. A part of me just seems like, nah, that's sacred material, man. Don't talk ill about police academy.
You know what I mean? Like, Razzie's got big for their britches, gentlemen. Police Academy 4 got called out. Which is a shame, because it's clearly the culmination of the franchise.
Is that Miami Beach?
Look, I'm not a doctor of Police Academy.
That's Citizens on Patrol.
Citizens on Patrol.
Yeah.
With the hot air balloon on the VHS cover.
Yes, sir.
I believe we had those
cartoonish film covers. When can we go back to that? I know the House Party reboot did it, and I was like, I'd like to see that that style come back.
Police Academy 5, Assignment Miami Beach, the rare 2:// movie title. Police Academy 5.
Assignment:
Miami Beach.
We need the audience to know what they're getting into,
guys.
Right, the producers, right?
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.